from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcast brought to you by Rebels with a Cause. I'm a rebel without a clue, but our patrons are rebels with a cause. With a clause, too. A sleepy clause. A pajama clause. I don't know what that is. That's the being that brings you pajamas. It hasn't been invented yet. I'm looking for it. But I was going to say their cause is kindness and supporting a good sleep for everybody. But, you know, I'm here. I am a rebel without a clue who believes in pajama clause. And why do I do what I do? Because I want to help you fall asleep. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going. Just remember to check it out when your hand hits the fridge tomorrow. Hey, everybody, this is Scoots, and this is where I talk about Sleep With Me Plus and supporting the show. I'm going to try to do this one pretty fast with a couple of questions. This only goes out if you're a regular listener to Sleep With Me. So if you're new or the show is just something you listen to every once in a while, this is not important, really. But if you're a regular listener, the question is, does Sleep With Me help you at all, right? Does it help you in a unique way, like help you fall asleep or break up the thoughts or ease of loneliness in the deep, dark night? Distract you from physical sensations, whatever, does it do anything for you? And does the sleep you get or the relief you get make your life any better? And if the answers to those questions are yes, and you can afford to support the show, this is a time when I'm really asking people, hey, what would it be worth to you if we stopped making Sleep With Me? Like, would you pay to get it back? Like, you'd say, if Sleep With Me does make your life better by helping you get sleep, or it does help you in the deep, dark night feel less alone, or you just like it, and we stopped making it, I said, hey, would you pay for to get back? Like, how much would Sleep With Me be worth to you? Say, hey, let's restart it. Let me put a quarter in the machine. What it does for you be worth to you to say, hey, I really want to get that back? And if the answer is like, hey, yeah, it would be worth $20 to me, or it'd be worth $50 to me, think about supporting the show at Sleep With Me Plus. Even, I mean, obviously, most people support it much less than that, because the show could really use your support right now, and we never have to cross that threshold. So if the show does something for you in a unique way, you like the podcast, and you can afford to support it, just don't wait. Sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus, sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. That's sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. Thanks, everybody. Support for Sleep With Me comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/withme. That's odoo.com/withme. Odoo, modern management made simple. All right, everybody, I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and provide me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody. And a lot of great people help out on Sleep With Me, right, Mystery Bard?
Chris Posty poster some. Sounds like a near fall. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes too. Carl W. the Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Laura, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your moderators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram, and you could listen also in a podcast app or a smart speaker. If you want to share it with someone, you say, hey, just tell your smart speaker, play Sleep With Me podcast. You could set a sleep timer, and that's it. Let's keep the show going. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing? Trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do it with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to attempt to do is create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations, time, temperature, you know, changes. You work the second, you work the second shift, the third shift, you're on a work trip, someone else is on a work trip. You know, whatever's keeping you awake, I'd like to help with that. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this, I'm trying to create a safe place. I'm trying to smooth it and pat it and rub it down and say safe place, just like I was in, Motown Philly Harmony or something. And I'm going to pat this safe place. See, look at how nice it is. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders, rustified tangents, superfluous words, unresolved metaphors, friendly banter. I'm going to keep you company. And the way I'm going to do it, getting mixed up, that's another one. If you're new, this is your first couple times checking out the show, welcome. Here, have a seat in this nice, convenient, safe place, or stand if you prefer. And cross your arms, uncross them, whatever it is. Roll your shoulders if you wish. That's what I'm doing that. Probably not the best during a meet and greet like we're having here. But this is more like a greet and greet. Great. I wish great rhymed with greet because it'll be convenient right this second. But let me tell you, it's great to greet you, new listener. That's what I meant to say. Welcome to Sleep With Me. Podcast's a little bit different. So if you're new, I'm going to try to set you up here. But when I try to do that, I usually go off topic. So don't try to pay too close attention. Most regular listeners, which is probably like 150,000 people, listen multiple times a week. Say it took two or three tries. So it took those, you know, and then there's other people that listen occasionally. So give it a few tries, see if it helps. But if you try to concentrate, you're welcome to concentrate as much as you want. That's why I'm saying it's great to greet you. Have I ever told you about the story about the greatest greeter ever? Maybe I could tell you that at some point soon. That might even be tonight's bedtime story, but, I am not the greatest greeter ever, but it's great. What I was saying is it's so great to greet you, but don't try it. You can concentrate on this podcast, but it's more something you kind of consume loosely, somewhere between background noise and a friend who you're trying to follow their story, but only for the key points, but they add way more than the key points. You say, how'd it go with that meeting? And they say, oh, which the meeting this morning? Oh, boy. Well, let me tell you about breakfast first. And you're like, well, I just wanted to know how it went in the meeting, good or bad. But you can't really say that because your friends. So you say, okay, oh, wow, frosted flakes, eh? Oh, the frosting was off on your frosted flakes. Oh, you only have frosted. That was frosted flake day. Oh, and it reminds you of snowflake. Okay. What about, oh, and then maybe you try to interject. You say, well, that's just what, so, oh, the meeting, though. Oh, yeah, I'm getting to the meeting. But, yeah, then I was, then so then I may put them in a bowl. But then I went in another room because I heard that the TV was on. I forgot to turn off the TV. And then I said, watch the report that said smiling increases your likelihood to smile by 100%. And I wondered if that, I said, that's new. That's good news, I guess. Is that good news or is that a joke? And then I shut it off. Oh, the meeting, though. Yeah, you were wondering about the meeting at work because then my, so then I drove my car into work and parked as I normally do. I do the carpool with everybody in the carpool. Except Jacob that day. Jacob was working remotely. And I said, you're home. We live in an urban area. It's not remote. You're in a very apartment building, Jacob. I'd say if you were on a tundra, that's working remotely. So I don't know if you have any friends like that, but that's what I tend to be like. I just gave you a little sampling. Oh, so I was going to say, don't try to pay too close attention. And so that's one thing. I was trying to be concise right up front. Here's the structure of the show. That's one thing. So it starts off with a few minutes of business. That's how we keep it podcast free. You know, we make it twice a week. So there's that. What else was I going to say? I'm already mixed up. It starts off with business. Then there's an intro. Now, intro's a little bit different because usually intros, you say, well, what's it take? 30 minutes, 30 seconds, 1 minute to intro a podcast? Unless it's a really high concept. And I say, well, mine's more of a concept where it seems like somebody's high, not me. And I don't think I'm high-minded. I mean, my brain probably has gotten too much altitude. So the intros, they take around 12 minutes. But it's a show within a show. Trust me, if you stick around and get to know it, you'll know, hey, I love the intro, or I might want to skip the intro. Or like a lot of people, you'll use the intro as the start to your wind-down routine. You brush your teeth. Maybe you'll put your socks on, take your socks off, put on your PJs, whatever it is that works. Bring your pets or, you know, like me, Koa, my dog. What she likes to do, she has her dog bed. And usually I let her go to the restroom outside and then in the great natural restroom. And then she comes in, and I say, ready for bed? And then she'll get in bed, and then I'll put a blanket on her and tuck her in. That's part of my wind-down. That's her wind-down routine, real quick. Oh, but so the intro is like a bit of meandering of me just trying to describe the podcast. It's a microcosm, I think, of the podcast. So it takes a while, but it's part of the show, and it's part of the method. But you can skip it if you need to. And to skip right to the story, maybe the greatest greeter. I don't know if that'll be a story we tell because I haven't told it yet. But I'm glad you're here. That's one thing. So that's the structure of the show. So there's the intro, then a little business, then the bedtime story part, which could be just about anything. And then the thank yous. And there's no pressure for you to listen or to fall asleep. You don't have to pay attention to me. I hope I can be just interesting enough to take your mind off stuff, but meandering and harebrained is the way I've been described. And I say harebrained like H-A-I-R or H-A-R-E, because I'll agree with you either way. I'm just wondering, just so I can wrap my brain around it, you know, if I'm harebrained, I got to wrap my brain and my mind around this whole harebrained thing. And that's two different things to wrap my mind around, being, you know, hair or hair. And if it's H-A-R-E, I got to probably go run after, I guess, yeah, well, I got to go catch that harebrained of mine. So that's the structure of the show. no pressure to listen, no pressure to fall asleep. I'm going to be here for an hour, whether you're awake or asleep. And the thing is, I make this show all the way to the end because I know there's a small portion of listeners that are here all the way to the end, or people that are temporarily, you know, really up. And I'm here to keep you company. Whether you're awake or asleep, I'm here to be at your bedside, trying to comfort you, trying to be your friend, your boyfriend, with friendly banter, as they said. I'm not here to be the greatest greeter of all time. I'm just here to be, you say, well, that was a pretty good greeting you did, Scoots. It was 12 minutes. You could have said, welcome to the store. And they said, well, yeah, they said, can you hand in your smock or whatever? And they said, well, I really like this smock. And they said, well, we don't have, actually, our greeters are paid anyway. You can't be a voluntary greeter. And where do you, and I said, well, I hope this is a homemade smock. Actually, I own it. So you can't take it back. And they said, well, actually, we own that branding. So technically, and I said, oh boy. And I think that's a tale for another day. Never to be told except to the superior, whatever, when, you know, when they call me up. And what was I saying? I'm here to keep you company, to be your friend. So it's a structure show, no pressure to fall asleep, no pressure to listen. You know, I make this show because I've been there. This week, to be honest, like, I've really been baffled around my own sleeping, particularly last night. I had one of those moments, not a super intense moment, but where I didn't want to know. It was too dark. I was wide awake. I woke up. I wasn't sleeping good. Woke up. And I didn't even want to know what time it was, unless I said, well, I know it's not raining. I said, maybe the sun's behind like 50 clouds. But I said, it's so dark that I really don't want to know what time it is, because now I'm debating, should I just get up? Like, I was just awake. And I said, well, what in the heck? I mean, I knew why I was awake. I said, well, I got a lot on my mind and stuff. But that's why I make this show, is because it'd be nice. I thought when I first, I said, if there was someone there to say, hey, it looks like you can't sleep, I'll check what time it is. I won't even tell you. I won't even show you any body language so you could guess. But I'll tell you about the tale of the time I went to buy a clock and I met the greatest greeter instead, because I'll be here, because I know you're having trouble. It looks like the stuff you had. I saw you tossing and turning there. Let me tuck you in just like you tuck in your puppy dog, Co-poo. And let me say I'm here to help, and I'm here to take your mind off of the fact that you don't want to know what time it is, or you don't want to think about this stuff. I'm going to be here to tell you, because I was going to get a clock. And that person won't be that imaginary person within my brain won't be telling you the story about the greatest greeter, but I will be. So I make a show because I've been there and I know how it feels, and I really truly believe you deserve a good night's sleep. I work very, very hard on the show because I'd like to help you. I yearn and I strive to help you fall asleep. Thanks for giving me your time. And here's a couple of ways we keep the show going.
Sleep With Me is brought to you by Progressive, where customers who save by switching their home and car save nearly $800 on average. Quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $793 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2021 and May 2022. Potential savings will vary.
All right, everybody. Hey, it's welcome to another episode of Sleep With Me. And so I guess you heard in the intro, which I did before I recorded this episode. Sometimes, believe it or not, this is a little bit of behind the scenes. Sometimes I record the intro after the episode. It kind of depends. It usually takes so long to record and quite a bit of energy. I don't know if that's brain glucose in the brain or what. That I like to record, ideally, in the perfect world, the thank yous, any teasers or prep stuff, and then the intros one day, and then the episode and something to warm up with, record something else warming up the next day. Yeah, but lately, usually, recently, other than yesterday, well, yesterday was a Sunday, I said I didn't have to record to talk about positive. I'm getting deja vu as I'm doing this, too. But to talk about positive, I said, you know what? We have a little time, Scoots. Let's do an intro. Thank you. Brooklyn and spot on Sunday. And then we'll do a show on Monday. And then we'll already be ahead for the week. Because every week my goal is to record ideally two and a half podcast episodes. It's really to net 2.5. So some weeks I'll record 3. Some weeks I'll record 2. I don't know if they're or like yeah. I don't like if I record 1, it'd be not you know. So you'd probably say Scoots is up for sure. But so like in a perfect week, I just record 2.5 episodes every week for the week that comes up that I can't record, or yeah, I only record 1 episode. So then at the end of the month, I've recorded an average of 2 every single week, so I can keep the train going. So what was my point, though, in there? I don't know. So I was talking about recording. Oh, so I recorded the intro yesterday. A lot of times, my preferred method, most of the time, if I'm going to record an entire episode in one day, is to do the thank yous first. And the reason I do the thank yous first, I didn't think this would be a meta episode, but the reason I do the thank yous first is to focus my mind on the listeners, to your ears, the person that's listening, you, of course, right here. And that helps quiet any perfectionism or internal criticism to say, hey, I'm here. I'm thankful for the people listening to the show. Thank you. And I'm here to serve. And not here to serve the brain, my brain bots. I'm here to serve the listeners. And that really helps frame making a show for me. And because sometimes I get, occasionally I get an email, what's up with these thank yous? Or they throw me off. I think it's just been an important part of the show for a long time. Not always. I don't know when we started it. And then the thank yous kind of were interrupting the flow of the show. So it's like we put them out in the end. Will the future be? I don't know. But for now, that's how I record. It also helps warm up my voice. This is a strange thing to say, but it's true, is lubricate my mouth to the right thing. So it's not over, or I guess not lubricate. Yeah, like to get it to the right point so my mouth doesn't have too much in it or not enough. If it doesn't have enough, then you could just trust me on this. I've been doing it a while. Another thing is I'm always kind of very close to the mic because I'm here for you in your ears. And so then I do the thank yous. Then I'll do the episode. And then I'll do the intro a lot of times. Because usually the episode's a little bit more structured and I know what it is. Sometimes I'll know what an intro is going to be or how I'm going to start it. But a lot of times I don't know. And that takes even more. The improvisational, it's tough to say. Like, you can't do pre-production on the the improvisational parts of the show. It's just been, you know, whatever, 20,000 hours or however long I've worked on this podcast for. Actually, not, so, like, maybe, like, just, well, just recording 14,000, yeah, a lot. But so, a lot of pre-production. So when I'm sitting down to record an episode, a lot of pre-production hours and hours have gone into prepping that. If it's a TV show episode or a written episode, or even a lot of times like a made-up episode, at least I have a general concept that I'm going in for. Tonight, not so much. I have a title, The Greatest Greeter Ever, and a general idea. But so that's why I usually do the episode first, because I've already done a lot of the work to get ready. I don't know that when I'm really warmed up, I've been to record all of that. Probably you're talking two plus hours, depending on like how long it's taking me. So to do the intro at the end, I'm usually really warmed up. And pretty on, or I'll be like, okay, I can't make it. Like, so a lot of times I'll stop recording and then I'll say, okay, I never would want, like, say, okay, let's do something. They say, okay, can we get the intro in? The 12 minute intro take 25 minutes or something. of recording time. With sometimes I'll have to stop, or it might be no, like, so just like, I don't know, but yesterday, I guess it's all to say, yesterday I was recording an intro where the idea of the greatest greeter came up. And I was thinking of this story I had heard, because I was talking about deja vu, and I was thinking of things. And I was like, I thought I heard a story about the greatest greeter, or was that a dream? And sometimes I get a peek into alternative versions of myself. And it's been a while since we've done one of these style episodes. And if you're new and you're with me here, I'm glad I can be here with you right now. This is, you're in for a little bit of a treat. So some comfort's going to come, but you know, you can listen to this whenever. So you can also slip away whenever. But this is a style of episode. It's called My Life with a Perm. And it takes a little bit of a setup. So when I was born, I think when you start off as a kid, you start off with like kid hair, but eventually your lifetime hair settles in at some point, and maybe you're more blonde, or your hair might, but at some point you get the hair, your hair follicles settle in. And there, unfortunately, I've learned this, there is no braces for hair. And a lot of hair, you know, whatever. I don't think I have severe hair envy. I guess I have like a twinge of hair jealousy, but I more have a case all my life of which is a little bit more of a positive. It says it has a forlorn aspect, like what if, but what is the what if about, right, Scoots? Let's talk about that. So when my hair follicles settled in, and if you're a hair scientist, maybe this will blow your mind, if you're a scientist, you've seen things on the edge of science, in the edge of whatever, random things, you know, born out of the you know, whatever. Maybe my hair came from a black hole. Wouldn't you have the science to back up negating that? Oh, you already do. Okay, well, maybe somewhere else then. It was more of a metaphor, actually, believe it or not, brain scientists. But so at some point, when my hair follicles settled in and they said, okay, like your hair, it's weird. Do they, like, I guess everybody's hair follicles clearly are timed differently, but they reach adulthood or maturity or something, you know, pretty fast. And since I'm just making things up, let's just say they reach it at like age 4, 5, or 6, somewhere in there. May have been even earlier. My hair follicles, a couple of things. I mean, I don't want to blame the follicles. They're just in there producing, you know, the keratin or whatever the heck they're supposed to do. And they don't, I bet you they don't, they say, what is this? Is this for heat or mating? And then they giggle for me, for both, actually. So when my hair follicles settled into their normal routine, I didn't have a natural part. And actually, people find this funny. I have no idea what I see it on people. And I always wondered, even as a kid, I said, is that a designed part or natural part? And I even researched it for the podcast, and probably I forgot on purpose, because they say, wait a second, do people's hair actually naturally part? And so that was one thing. I was born without a natural part. And my hair kind of grows like a fountain, like from the center out in a fountain-like way. Perfect for a bowl cut, which is what I had most of my life. And I think if you weren't born in the great bowl cut era, I don't know if that's one that's going to come back and be hip again. Unfortunately, now my hair's a little bit less, so I don't think my forehead's expanded its territory. Which is another debate thing, but so I don't think a bowl cut would work on me anymore. But so my hair is very, very thin and very, very fine and very, very straight. Now, I've seen finer hair, but believe me. I wouldn't say my hair is silky because it's so thin that it would be flat against my head. Like even if I grew it out, and I know there's been a few hair bands with very thin, flat hair. But it's like there's only like one layer, like almost like a piece of paper Like if my hair was a piece of paper, it'd probably be tracing paper, where most people are like dealing with like bond paper, you know, like you put a resume on mine. You don't, my hair resume, you'd be able to see through it. So it's very fine, very straight, very prone to cow licks. And it's really not designed for any haircut because other than a bowl cut, like there was a time when I was like, what did you do to me, mom and dad? And I don't think I just had a bowl cut. At some point I had like a double bowl, like a two layer bowl, like a helmet, I guess more of a helmet cut. I had straight bangs across my forehead and then my back, my thing. So it wasn't like a something out of a cartoon bowl cut. And, you know, it didn't really bother me. I mean, I had enough other things going on that my hair never bothered me till the hair, you know, then other hairy regions, you know, in the, what are those things called? Hormones behind them. Like the evolutionary chain that said, this hair on your head, I don't know if it's to keep your brain warm or if it's for the other evolutionary things, but this hair on your head ain't working for that. It's actually a deterrent. And it was a slow realization for me. But for a time, actually, there was a foresight, and it was, I think, probably in my prepubescent years. But when, you know, those things were already flowing into my bloodstream, they just hadn't hit whatever the heck you call it. And this barber, so we went through a couple different barbers in our lives. And so there's a bunch of different barbers, but the one that was closest to this time in my life when I would go, where I would do like in this like middle school to high school era, was this barber named Frank. And I got introduced to Frank from my friend Charlie, who had great hair. And that, so I had, my friends all had good hair, all my close friends. I think, I'm trying to think of any of my close friends that had bad hair. No, I mean, one of my friends, Rick, he had amazing hair, but he was also very into, like, he spent a lot of time on his hair. My friend Charlie, he had kind of a naturally good head of hair. My friend Pat and Chris, these are my friends at that age. Let's see, who else? Kyle, Jeremy. Yeah, they all had pretty good hair. But so, but Charlie went to this barber named Frank, and he said, "Oh, Frank will set you right or whatever. Don't, like, that's the place to go." And he was just a very traditional barber. He had a perm at the time, I believe, or he had very curly hair, but I think he had a perm because I think I've seen him other times, and he probably had, you know, wavy hair. But he had a perm, and if you want to know what it looks like, there was a TV show called The Brady Bunch, and then it got made into movies. And you could just Google whoever the dad, I don't know if the dad's name's Peter Brady, but just put Brady Bunch. And then the dad had, I think for a lot of time, he had a curly hair, a perm. And in the 80s, I think this was in the 80s or the 90s. It was right on that cusp. I think they had already kind of peak, it was post-perm peak for men. Yeah, but this barber was convinced that this is what he told me. He sat me down one time. He's giving me my hair. And I said, every once in a while, I'd get to the point where I'd be like, I just need some help. I don't know what to do. And he was like, he was puzzled. He was spinning me around, walking around. He goes, listen, this is what you need to do. Grow it out more so it's even more of a helmet bowl cut. And then you come in, we'll give you a perm. And I mean, he knew on the look at my face, this is controversial. And he said, it'll only be tight curls for a little while. And then it'll become unwavy. And this was the times, you know, these are the times in the history of the universe, actually, that people say, you know, they say, this earth might be round. You know, this earth, the sun, we might rotate around the sun and not the other way, you know, that way. You know, let's try to fly. Let's build a flying machine or whatever. I love dancing. I'm going to do it, you know, as a career. I mean, those micro decisions are just as brave as the macro ones. Or, you know, I'm going to dedicate my life to doing this or to solving this. And for me, I guess this was a monumental decision. And as they say on cartoons, it is like maybe there was the universe is split at this point. Well, I know because I've gotten glimpses. Now, there's some good things we owe to my decision, which was like, no, no way. Or I said probably, maybe let me think about it. I don't think I had the courage to say, no, no way. I said, let me think about it. Let me talk to my parents about it. And I think I told my friends and they all laughed hysterically and said, yes, do it. And I knew that they were like, yes, so it would be even more hilarious when I have to go to school with a tight perm. And sometimes I was the goofball I am on this podcast. And I think if I had a tiny bit more courage of goofiness or a little bit more, I was more of the subtle class clown. If I had more of the class clown, I would have gone for it. And it probably could have pulled it off as far as like, but I would have thought people were laughing at me, which in some sense, if you have the courage to get a perm, it will, as we'll see, like, people can't laugh at you. It's simple. Yeah, they can laugh at you, but it's like a laughter based on the dismay at your own self-esteem because you said, well, yeah, I'm going to rock his perm. I'm going to rock it all night and all day long, and I'm going to shake these curly locks, and that's who I am. I'm the kind of person that says yes to Frank and says, perm this thing. But at the time, I was more of like, I said, no, like, I mean, internally I said, never, no, not in a million years. But there is a universe out there where I did say yes, and I've had a glimpse of those episodes, or those, that life, and I've done some episodes. It's been a while, and I don't know how long it's been. I think the last one was maybe Les Mis related. But recently, I was trying to remember being the greatest greeter ever. And because, you know, there's like some stores in some businesses that have greeters, right? And at first, I was thinking, yeah, what if there was a store that had a great greeter? Would it be like a box store or would it be someone else? And I think I was kind of joking about that in the intro. But I was thinking about it, because it reminded me of the story, The Greatest Greeter Ever. And I said, oh, it doesn't sound familiar, until I rested. And then that other universe has settled on me. And then I could see myself in this world. My name's Andy. And, you know, there was the years, most of the time my life with a perm is looking at my childhood. And this one, it was as an adulthood, and it was my first vision towards Andy with a perm as a grown-up. And it was, I think, right around this time. And just because I got a perm, sometimes if there's like a limitless number of universes occurring, that means there's a lot of friggin' universes, you know. And if only one thing changes in the universe, I know that everybody's got a point of view about that. But if just one boy gets a perm and it tweaks his self-esteem in a way that he can walk through life with a head full of hair in permanent curls that he can twang and twang, he could grow and have them cascade. You know, there was a time in his college years, I think, that they were cascading. It doesn't change everything. So this universe was a lot like our universe, and it was just this time, and I got a glimpse of Andy, and he still had that perm. And so what happened was, you know, Andy was wondering, and Andy was actually thinking about his childhood, which is pretty similar to mine. But he had gotten a perm even earlier. That's why his esteem, you know, that was the whole thing. He had met Frank earlier in his life. I think around first grade, or maybe he returned. I think, I can't remember. There's a lot of, you know, the movie, what was that movie called? Where they kept going back and forth. It was Independent Maid. I'll think of it. It's one word. But anyway, so this was Andy as a man, but he remembered. He was one day, he was, you know, spiraling on his curls, doing a curl bump. That's what you like to do sometimes when you're thinking, which is kind of lifting your curls up like they wet, you know, it just feels good. You go ahead, even imagining doing it feels good. And, you know, he did go through stages where he had Goldilocks style curls. And it never became a thing. And it always kind of made him, it kind of like gave an advance warning. Like he was never suited for the corporate world, clearly, because people couldn't take him seriously. But then the people that could deal with him, it was like, I called it the curl cascade. Because when I was trying to write Andy's autobiography, when I find out these stories, at first, when people first met him, if they didn't have any forewarning, they'd be a little bit like, what's going on with this person? And then after they left, they'd say, well, he's an interesting fellow, and he has that hair going. But there was something about him, je ne sais quoi, as they do say. And people would be like, and then the second or third time, just like this podcast in some way, they'd say, okay, I get it aligns perfectly. I get it now. It's ostentatious, but in a way it's showing and non-showy. It's beyond understanding. It's a curl cascade. And then it would die down and it would be in alignment with them so much that they wouldn't even notice. You know how that happens. And it wouldn't even come out of misalignment. It'd be permanent alignment. It'd be like, well, that's who Andy is. Be like, who's that dude with the perm? And they'd be like, well, who, what? Oh, you mean Andy? Yeah. Oh, yeah. What's up with his perm? Oh, you don't know. You just haven't met him, huh? It wouldn't even be like a thing. They'd feel it was so aligned that they would feel like, it's hard to even explain. And in some sense, they'd say, don't worry. You're going to be working with them. You'll figure it. It'll be great. Maybe he'll let you twang. He does one day. Totally. But so Andy was living in a world just like ours doing, we won't get into what he's doing. Maybe it could be a sleep podcast, or it could have been a daytime podcast. I'd like to say that Andy would make a podcast like Everything is Alive or something. Cool, like that. Ian already makes that one, though. But and I don't think Ian has a perm, but probably he has nice hair from his headshots. But so, what was I saying? So Andy was living in this world. He was a little stumped. He said, done all these things. Great accomplishments for him, but in the history of the world, he's just being a human out there doing human stuff and, going through the trials and travails as we all do. But he remembered from his childhood, Joy Germ Joan, who's come up on this podcast before, who was this real person in Syracuse, New York, who my dad worked with for a time, who had the Joy Germ Foundation. And Andy was thinking that she was on to something, and he was remembering the parade and how she said it was free hugs before there was free hugs, which I don't think is around too much anymore, which I guess in the U.S. kind of makes sense. And Andy said, yeah, I remember there was he started to think about all these kind of positive movements. And then he remembered this memory we shared, which blew my mind. And it was this rainy day. And this is a real memory that sits with me in this positive, strange world of dreams and realities. And it was in Golden Gate Park. And it was a very, very rainy day. And for the Bay Area, it was daytime. But it was even raining so much that it was like a dark, we don't get the tea storms too much. So it never gets it's really dark, but this was like a dark, rainy day. And I was driving in Golden Gate Park and I passed a man in a rain slicker with a yellow rain slicker hat. And he was this African-American man and he was holding a teddy bear also in a rain slicker with a rain slicker hat, yellow rain slicker, one of those raincoats that goes all the way down, yellow boots, and a yellow umbrella, holding the bear and the umbrella in one arm and waving and smiling at everyone that drove by. And it was like something of a dream. And then it happened to be that we were looping and we passed him again and he was still there waving. And I was in a car with other people and I had this, I was just drawn in an amazement at this man who was just so yellow and so vibrant, his smile and his energy, and he was exuding joy in the rain, in the teddy bear, and I didn't know if it was what it was. And it, I mean, I guess at the time I didn't think anything of it, but Andy did. In like 12 Galaxies, Frank, like Andy kind of like, something Andy did was like, look into these kind of things. And maybe it was just mystery. I don't know. This was actually, I didn't get a glimpse into Andy in the man in the yellow slicker. But it was something that Andy always held to his heart where I kind of like let it drift in and out of me. Andy couldn't forget it. His curls, he'd wake up when he was feeling a bit of the rainy gloom inside. He would picture that man waving at him in the rain, vigorously waving when he waved back and smiling and just standing there, just in not just standing anywhere, just in like a random spot on the side of the road. And just something mysterious and something surprising. And so Andy never forgot it. He just sat there in his memory, kind of like me and Dr. Demento. And at this particular time in the world, Andy was living in, he said, he was sitting around, he was hearing the stuff and reading the stuff and saying, I want to do something, but I don't want to do something like with any budding going in, because he goes, we live in this world that's full of budding, and he said, I feel like I need to take some action, some positive action. He goes, but there's all this, I feel like we're moved to a place beyond debating, and he goes, I'm not into the berate, he goes, that whole thing, and he goes, I don't know what to do. And then he saw the man in the yellow slicker waving at him. And he sat there and he felt better about the state of things for a time. But then he said, okay, maybe this is calling me to action. Maybe. And then he thought about Joy Germ Joan and that she believed in the infectiousness of joy. And Andy started to think, well, this man proves it. He goes, is it a matter of having enough? And where do we start? And he said, okay, well, and he went into to research, but the yellow slicker man remained a mystery. And he kind of left Joy Germ Joan as a mystery. He said, okay, I need to do something new. And he goes, well, I start right there. And he, like me, like he was a little bit more extroverted, and I don't know how Andy tests out on the Myers-Briggs or Enneagram or any of those things, but I do know we have a little bit of shared history, and that Andy discovered, much like I did, that waving at people does create, and smiling and saying hi can create like a, establish some intimacy, even when you're not comfortable or you're not good at small talk. And maybe Andy learned that I didn't, that it could be a bridge to small talk and then a bridge to deeper and broader relationships instead of a supplement. But so Andy had kind of said, what about this waving and smiling thing and that man waving? And so Andy set to it, and he set to going out and just standing in places. And then he thought about the dancing guy, you know, all these other people that were doing these great things. But he said, okay, let me think about just going out there and waving and smiling at people. And he thought about the places, again, where people aren't always in the best of moods. So he started at places like the DMV and different offices. And he just wave at people. And he found that results were mixed. And that he said, okay, well, I guess I got to, like, figure out upping my game a bit. But he had also learned kind of the idea that, okay, not too much eye contact. You're waving, like, he goes, you don't want to be confusing. Because he found that was one of the things, was like, okay, how do we get around the confusion? He goes, there's some people that just take it in stride and like being waved and hide to, or they're willing to go along with it. And he goes, there's probably the grouch people, like a little bit like Drew in the other universe, that just put their head down and keep walking. And he goes, there's this receptive people, but then there's the people that say, what is it like? There's a varying spectrum of people that are like, what does this person want? Versus, do I know them? And do I forget them? So he said, okay, how do I broaden this? How do I, he really used empathy and compassion, or maybe just empathy, to put himself in everyone's shoes. And I think Andy was a bit more data oriented. So he was keeping track of like, and he was actually a person that asked for help. So he started asking around. And in this universe, Len Test, Andy and Len Test were friends. In my universe, like, Len Test is a cool hero, but Len Test was great at crunching data. So they started, and then thinking about the industry of joy. But this is something Andy was like, I want to take what I've learned from the joy industry and in some sense, deindustrialize joy, like Joy Germ Joan was trying to do. But also to kind of break, find a way around these initial walls that people like Drew keep up or whatever. So he started crunching the data, and he said, okay, well, this is too confusing. He goes, just waving at people only works for the people it works for. And for the other people, it might actually take them from a neutral place he goes, just a tiny twinch in the saying, well, that kind of put me in a grouchy mood. Or, hey, I don't know who that person is that's waving at me. What did I forget? So he said, okay. And they also learned, hey, these places where people have to go do need something. But then he said, well, there's it's a bit mired. And then Andy thought about, believe it or not, me and Andy went to the same, you would think Andy with his perm wouldn't know about, have to be therapy, but he went to the same therapist as I did. And the therapist was helping him with, you know, interpersonal stuff. And I said, here's a book, How to Work a Room, about, I didn't read it. I took it. And I said, oh yeah, I totally read that book. But all the time, I'm totally working that. But Andy read the book and took it in stride. And I think one of the lessons in there is kind of like pretending you're the host of the party. And Andy said, is there a way to wave where you pretend you're host party? No. And then Andy thought back to the kind of the business of making people happy. And he started talking around to people and listening and learning. And he probably had facts and stuff. I'm just recounting the story. And people would say, and he heard so many tales, though, about the greatest greeter ever. They're like, oh, like Shirley, she like ran this shop, or she worked, welcoming people to the park, or, oh, remember Bomba John was always offering to help no matter what, always had a smile on his face. So he started hearing all these stories, and instead of doing that, Andy reached out to these people and got a hold of them and said, hey, I heard about, like, and he would talk to them and interview them, probe them. You say, how did you, I really want to know more about this and what your skills were. What did you learn? They say, oh, well, I learned this. I just like doing it. Just feels good. And I just like people. He heard all these great answers. And they said, well, I'd like you to, I'm working on something. And I'd like you to, and I think probably this would make sense. They started a podcast called The Greatest Greeter. So let's just say that he did start a podcast called The Greatest Greeter. And he started to learn about being nice to people and how to penetrate these walls. And because he had that perm, anytime, he'd say, well, this isn't always easy. And he'd touch his curls, or he'd roll his hands over his curls, or he'd pump his curls. Or after a good thing, he'd, shake his head. Or if he needed a little bit more confidence before going into some greeting training, because he started taking the training. He started taking these jobs for a time and greeting people. And he started to kind of say, what do we need? What do people need to know? And he said, okay, well, this is what we're shooting for. It's a great greet off. But he said, how am I going to do a great greet off where it continues and rolls forward? He goes, I don't want to just have one thing. But everybody was like, well, if you do the great greet off, it'll be, and he said, well, what about this and this? He goes, is there a lot way to start smaller? And he said, well, let's build up. And he started to gain this momentum. And there was something about a figurehead that, he did have a little bit extra forehead, but he still had those curls. He still had the perm going. And he still had a twinge of introversion. But he said, I want to get past this this thing. He goes, I've lived my life. I'm not perfect. I've been non-greeting a lot. But I want to be empowered by all this. I've been inspired by The Man in the Yellow Rain Slicker and Joy Germ Joan and a lot of these other people out here now, the Greens, people at Night Vale Presents and Radiotopia and all these independent people, Max and Alex, people like Cards. Like he said, okay, and Andy was better at getting it. So he started reaching out, and they said, okay, let's start small. Let's build momentum towards the great greet off. And so they started, and I think they probably gamified it for some people. Maybe they said, hey, let's put this in Fortnite. Let's add, instead of dancing in Fortnite, let's add waving and smiling. And that is a shield booster when someone's nearby only. And they wait, you choose for at least that time period to just wave and greet. And they got it on cross-platform. And so they started with waving and smiling at people and making eye contact. And it started to gain momentum. And then they started to reconnect with these other things. I don't know if Andy ever got a hold of The Man in the Yellow Rain Slicker. But he talked to Frank, who walked the streets of San Francisco, who I just saw last weekend, walking around. And Frank's more chill and quiet, but, And he got a hold of Joy Germ Joan. He talked to people that do these pillow fights and free hugs and dancing. Because the other thing is Andy didn't want to reinvent the wheel. He wanted to use what was art. People were already out there doing this, and he wanted to bring them together. And again, remember, Andy had this sperm. So anytime, at first people were like, okay, this I'm supposed to take you seriously? And they'd say, okay, who's behind this great greet off? The guy with the perm is. And he started to get more and more. And they said, okay, yeah, people are getting into this waving and smiling. And then saying, hey, how's it going? More and more. And then it started, he said, okay, let's start getting people at doorways. And I think Cards helped them, gamified. And Arnie and, some of the people that Arnie works with, they helped to make it fun and kind of make it more social. So then they started getting people at these doors of these buildings, and they say, just holding doors and saying, hey, how's it going? And then they started to figure out, like, a non-purchasing way, though you could purchase ways of dressing or a certain color to let people know, oh, when I see that color, and they started to build on it. I said, well, geez, what if someone's, they need a little break, or they're feeling, you know, they're having intense feelings. You could look for these, this greeter symbol. I don't know. I can't, Andy didn't tell me, you know, when you see into another universe, it's not always that clear. But they started to get people at doorways and on the streets and at parks. And they started to say, okay, whatever. And then Andy said, oh, you know what? It's the greatest greet off. We'll have the greatest greeter ever. And then we'll have the greeter of the year. He goes, we got to figure out a way to make this a quarterly event. And then they said, well, let's just do a tour. Well, we'll get a tour. And then they said, well, maybe we should just do arts grants. And Andy was partnering with so many people. And it kind of became an independent movement. I said, well, we're not really in charge of this. It's do it yourself, you know, do it locally. But it was really this idea of empowering people with the kindness of greeting and celebrating the greeting. And then that caught fire. People started to say, holy cow, like this great greet-offs. It's kind of like these neighborhood block parties that people do and all these other things and across globally. And then the idea of welcoming tourists and visitors to your cities, your nations, of welcoming people to your nation to come and say, hey, welcome. Glad you're here. It sounds like, you know, come on in, you know. If you're Fuji, we're here, you know, to let me host you. Let me help you find a place. Let me help you find, you know. So it became this whole idea of greeting and welcoming and empowering and saying, well, okay, well, just greet. What if you just greet, you know, start small. Start with the smiling and the waving. You know, you don't have to go all the way to our end. We're doing that on our end. And it became as the greatest greeter started to become clear who would that be. It wasn't Andy. It was someone else. And she started to say, geez, let's do if we're not happy about it, you know, let's find a way to mix this into activity and action where it's empathy and compassion first. Is that part of a greeting, too? It's like, where are you coming? Let's make you feel safe and friendly and heard and understood, and then go from there. Like a front room of a house, and it all started at these doorways. But then it became, yeah, game nights and block parties and performances. And everybody would ask, Andy, how'd you do it? Everyone was calling Andy the greatest greeter, but obviously he was trying to say, no, this is who the greatest greeter is. And this is how we're going to roll forward with the greeter of the year and everything. But Andy kept coming back to the empowering message that he was leading with, was that it was and eventually he had to speak when they were giving the greatest greeter of the year. Now, that hasn't happened yet. That's why I don't know who it is. I just know who's probably going to win. And that's in Andy's universe. But as he was working on his speech, he said, I was watching him. And he said, you know, I've learned a lot from having this perm. And he told the story of the reverse of the story of, like, what if I didn't get that perm? You know, what if it worked out for me. So I said, Andy, don't worry about it. It worked out. Was it, you know, it made, you know, mistakes I made a few, as they sing in that song. Esteem, it took a while for this esteem to build up, but, you know, you're there. But he said, I learned from this perm a lot about interacting with other people, because I always had to say, how are they seeing me? A strange person with non-perm hair in a permanent, you know, super curly haircut. And it's made the difference of seeing things and just wondering. You don't have to be inhabit walk in their shoes, but I do have to see things from their perspective and just take a breath there. And I've had to learn that these micro actions are where it's at, where somebody's in, let's say, what's up with this dude's hair? I've had to say, hey, what's up? I'm Andy. Nice to meet you. And to try to diffuse things. And it's not the same, Andy said, but it's given me the ability to breathe in those moments. And not just to breathe, but to breathe in openness and a security to say, well, I have my perm here, but it's really just a haircut. It's really just a cascading symbol that I'm going to be okay. And I'm open to seeing if this person could be okay too. You know, within reason, Andy said, well, this is like, but Andy said, we're all desperate for the next step to take. And greeting maybe is one of these next steps we can take. And Andy said, I want you to know that you're the greatest greeter. That's really, I forgot about this part. I'm reading Andy's speech as now. I think it's a mirror. And I think they did this on magazine covers and stuff. But that every day you have the choice. And it's just a choice for that day. Be like, you know what? Today I set the record for greatest greetings for today. I'm the greatest greeter ever today. And Andy said, you know, this personal empowerment of kindness and imagining, you know, my self-care comes from my ability to breathe and to check in with myself is hair-based. But other people might be gait-based or hand-based or touching your elbow or kissing your shoulder-based, your feet on the floor-based, the wind on your cheek based, to say, here I am in this world, I'm inhabiting it, and I'm breathing, and I'm open to understanding and to kindness for myself. Let me give myself some greeting in the morning, in the evening. Let me empower myself to be kind to myself, Andy said. Let me empower myself to be kind to my family, and let me empower myself not to be perfect, and to say, well, tomorrow, how'd my greetings go today? Well, maybe tomorrow we'll see. If I greet myself the right way, maybe I can, or maybe I need to sit down, Andy said, and wonder about that perm on that, and say, even if it's internally, and say, huh, a little grouchy today. This is when Andy probably was watching me. What was up with that? Okay, well. And Andy, you know, it's a great speech. Just said, well, as a greeter, we will have greeters of the year, but I'm more interested in the micro and more interested in this gift to you, from you, and to the world in a clearly powerful way, undeniably powerful, Andy said, empowering yourself to be the greatest greeter ever. It's my honor. And then, you know, it's my honor to retell Andy's tale and to say, yeah, get some rest. You deserve it. And you deserve to greet yourself tonight, however, wherever you want to place your hands or your covers or your pillows. And, you know, say, well, good night. It was a full day being human. And I'm here for you. And I'm here to breathe, and I'm here in my bed, or wherever you are, at your desk, wherever it is. And say, yeah, I'm going to greet. I have the power of greeting. I have the power of breathing and presence, too. But I want to greet you. Sometimes greeting is just saying, thanks for coming by, and good night. I want to thank the people that took the time to review stuff on Apple Podcasts. You can do that in the Apple Podcasts app or over at on iTunes in your desktop. I want to thank Iris V30, who said from the U.S., who said, thanks, Scooter. My partner and I listen every night without fail. It helps us both drift off, usually during the intro, which is enjoyable. When I get to hear your stories, they're creative and clever. Thanks for all your hard work. Rezzy Bean says, comfort in the deep dark. It's not just that it helps you fall asleep more easily, but he's a friend there to comfort you through the long and terrible hours of sleeplessness. It creates a cozy, safe place to ease you into sleep or comfort when you're in unwelcome wakefulness. I play it all night, every night. When I wake up in the middle of the night, Scooter's there, keeping the night friendly and safe, so I'm never alone. So well done. You're really kind, genius project. Thanks for helping me through the night. Thanks. LJ27 from the UK says, thanks for helping me. 16 and not much in the GOT or Good Place or Who. They were like Friends or Annie with an E. But you could check out like our AMA sometimes to kind of get an idea of I have to plan. I could keep those on my monitor for down the road, but especially the TV shows, things that get planned out about a year ahead. Find out more. Thanks for the support. Gannett G, 3 stars, totally charmed, but bummed you can't make it past the intro. The husband also likes it a lot when they get in bed. You should give it a chance. They must have met, this sounds like a positive review. So 3 stars. Thanks. No, you'll be there if I need it. Where this one's much more clearly a 1 star. It was too much like listening to NPR. Not impressed. That's from Shell, Shelly, Shell from the U.S. but then Splotsom from the UK says, a suburb of silliness, like many others, I was dubious, and I gave it a go, and then another go, and then I was hooked. It works, aimless, meandering, wandering stories, how to stop my brain from thinking, and let me switch off and sleep in peace. It gives a humorous element to the frazzled brain, something to smile about. Only not worked a couple times when I've been, really stressed. Please don't stop doing it. They've become a patron. They get so much value out of it, so thank you. Yeah, but this person has the opposite view. Algirl 80 says, worse and worse. Talk about Patreon too much. The podcast giant is giantly profitable. They talk about it, which is ridiculous because it's a free podcast. Sorry, a bit much. It takes me 90 hours a week to put the show out. Goodbye Ambien, though, from Judith 671. And no idea how this works. I wake up at 1:03 and 4:30 every morning and turn this on, back to sleep in 10 minutes. I never listened to a whole show. Tried white noise and different things to take, to help sleep, but this works. Thanks. The T Reckoning says, it is what it is and it's perfect. I wonder if there's an episode of Scooter talking himself to sleep. Yeah, it was recently. I put myself to sleep in an intro. I'll try the intro I'm going to record after this. Then Daniel CH says it just works. I've had insomnia and I used to take things, but I use Sleep With Me. It helps me fall asleep fast. And that's it. Thanks, everybody. If you listen in and you say, well, let me counteract some of that extra energy with some positive energy, you just go into your Apple Podcasts app, right built into your phone. If you don't listen on there, it's a great place to listen. And take a second and write your honest review of the show. And that's it. Sleep With Me is a proud member of Night Vale Presents. You can check out all the amazing shows over at nightvalepresents.com. We're also a member of PRX. You can check out everything they do at prx.org. And Sleep With Me is mainly brought to you by our sponsors and mostly by all our patrons. Who subscribe to a free podcast, Rebels with a Cause. You can do that at sleepwithmepodcast.com/PATRON. And let me tuck you in there. Good night. Thanks so much. On with the sleep. Or if you need another episode, go ahead and play another one. I'm here. I could be here all night if you need it. Good night.
All right, everybody, it is time to talk about the mattress I sleep in nightly. And tonight's sponsor, Helix. Helix Sleep. Take that quiz at helixsleep.com/sleep. And oh, how do I love my Helix. And not only do I love my Helix, my family members love their Helix. I just stayed at a family member's house, and I saw my nephew Daniel had a Helix.
I believe his parents have a Helix Sleep too. So it's just so refreshing to know that I'm not the only one enjoying sleeping on mine. But each one of us is different, right? And that's why Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection. There's mattresses for big and tall sleepers, even a mattress made just for kids. And the way you know which mattress is going to be best for you, the way you sleep, and your body is to take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. That personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. And Helix knows you want to get to know your mattress, right? And you get to sleep on it in your own home. They offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress. And since everybody's unique and everyone sleeps differently, Helix has different mattress models to choose from, designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. There's models with memory foam for pressure relief if you sleep on your side, responsive foam to cradle your body if you're a stomach or back sleeper. And way back when I took that Helix sleep quiz, I got matched with the Helix Dusk. I chose the Helix Dusk Lux. You know, I sleep on my stomach. I sleep on my side. I like to be cool. I love this mattress. Anytime I travel, I'm counting the days to get home and get in my Helix bed. And Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/sleep. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now. That's helixsleep.com/sleep. Thanks, everybody.